We've lost signal. We're good. We're on our series on vision. So we're going to be talking a little bit more about vision, and I'm excited about the word that God gave to us this morning. Okay? So if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Genesis 20, chapter 22nd. Okay? Genesis 22. First book of the Bible, okay? For every vision that comes from God, there is a provision that goes along with it. So, provision is God's endless supply of resources that we need to accomplish the vision. So, when you have the vision, you can count on God's provision. Provision means the pro in the front means supply for that vision. Okay? So, I wouldn't worry about the provision. I would probably more be worried about the vision than the provision, because the vision itself belongs to God. It started with God, and we are the steward of that vision. When we are good steward of what God has given to us, guess what? He will make sure that we have an abundant supply of resources to accomplish His vision. So the burden is never on us to figure out where things going to come from. The burden is on God. God is requiring us to obey and to do the little tasks that He's asking us to do. The small little things that sometimes we might overlook and like, you know what, how does that little thing play in the big plan of God? But God is requiring us to be obedient in those small little details of life. So when I talk about provision, I don't want you to be thinking about money. Because provision can come in many ways beyond money. Provision can come in the form of favor. Provision can come in a form of peace, joy. Provision can come in a form of a job. Provision can come in a form of you need to do something, and you don't know how to do it, okay? And then all of a sudden, God brings in someone who can do the job for you and show you how to do it. That would be God's provision. God seeing ahead at your need and making sure that you're taken care of. The job at the end of the day is taken care of. So that is God's provision. So it's not always about money. When we think about provision, we need to remember one thing, that God is the key for the provision. That God is the source of everything. When we think about provision, we need to be thinking about God as the source, as the ultimate provider, the I am in any situation that we might face. If we need bread, it can rain down bread from heaven. If we need water, He can make water come out of a rock. If we need shelter from the sun, He can be the cloud by day. If we need light by night, He can be the fire by night. He can be anything that we want Him to be, that we need Him to be in our life. So that is God being the source of everything. When we put God as the source, we will not lack. Because in God, there is never any lack. So when I talk about provision, it's not always about money. Because there are certain things that money can't buy. Right? Would you agree with that? There are certain things that we need to accomplish God's vision that money will not be able to get you where you need to be. You're going to need to trust God in relationships. There are certain people that God will bring into your life that you could not pay money to get there, to build those relationships. So relationships could be priceless. An open door of favor could be priceless. So you need to be able to treasure those moments when God is showing you His providence in every single situation that you're in. God is the ultimate provider. Christ is the source of every hope that we have. I will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. I remember a while back when I was applying for college and I had no money, but I had a word. I knew that God is the source of everything that I need. And I remember when I was filling out my application and sending it on to Oral Roberts University, I wrote down this scripture: my God will supply all my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So when I'm putting that down, I'm believing that this is God's vision, and that's the word that aligns with God being the vision, that He will provide. And it all came to pass. But it came to a point where I had to totally surrender that provision or that vision unto Him. I said, this is your plan. This is you telling me what to do. And of course, you're going to make sure that I have everything that I need to accomplish that vision. So this is what we do when we have a vision. We release it. We be a good steward of it, but we don't worry so much about the provision on where it's going to come from. Sometimes it's just get up and do it. Build it and they'll come. Just show up at church and expect God to be there. That is you showing up and expecting God to be there. Okay? So if you've got your Bible, you've got Genesis 22. Let me give you a little backdrop of Genesis 22. We're not going to have time to read the whole thing, but you can read it at home. Genesis 22 is talking about Abraham taking his one and only son, the promise. You would think that this is the vision that God has given Abraham, and that is the accomplishment of that vision, his son. He's 100 years old and he's believing God for his son, and here's the son. And now God asks him to take this one and only son, go up to this mountain, and then sacrifice this son. So he's processing all of that, and I'm giving you the backdrop now of that situation. So Abraham received a vision from God. Back in Genesis 17, God shows up to Abraham and says, I am the Almighty God. I am the El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God, the all-powerful God, and I'm going to change your name. You're no longer going to be called Abram, but you're going to be called Abraham, the father of many nations. And I'm also going to change your name, the name of your wife, from Sarai to Sarah. She's going to be blessed. And I'm going to bless the womb. And she will carry a child. And you will name this child Isaac. So that's the backdrop of this. And sometime when God is about to do something in our life, there's a few things that He wants to change first. There's a few things that He wants us to change, to come up to a certain level so we can actually understand the purpose of that vision. Abraham's name had to be changed, or Abram's name had to be changed to Abraham before he can actually embrace that vision. What is God trying to change in us, in you and me, before we can embrace fully the vision that He's given to you and me? What is it? Sometimes we need to be maybe start with that question. Lord, what is it in me that you want to change? So that I can see the things that you want me to see. Sometimes you need to start with us before our eyes can actually open. So Abraham got his name changed. And now Isaac is born. And he's believing this is it. That's the fulfillment of the vision. I would think this is it. Lord, I'm 100 years old. I passed the age of being a dad. And now that I've got a son, let's celebrate. This is it. It's done. But then comes Genesis 22, where God is actually saying, Abraham, now I want you to start your life. He's 100 years old. He's 100 years old, and he's just now getting a glimpse of what God is about to do. So he's now saying, Lord, are we done here? And God is saying, I'm just about to start. I'm just about to start on that vision that I gave to you a few years back. And I recognize that you're 100 years old, but I still got your best years ahead of you. Can we testify to that when we think about our own life and like, oh man, I'm hoping this is, I've reached a certain point in my life where, you know, I might need to slow down a little bit. And God said, no. I'm just now getting started. I am just now starting in my plan for your life. Would you get ready for it? And that's exactly what is going on in Genesis 22 when God said to Abraham, I want you to go up to this mountain and this is what I want you to do. So now let's pick it up in Genesis 22. It says, one thing that we discover out of the whole chapter is this, that God is the Jehovah Jireh. That's where we're going to land this morning, okay? So I'm telling you now, we're going to go to that place called Jehovah Jireh, where God is the provision. And for every vision that he gives to us, for that provision to follow through, there are some requirements that we can learn from Genesis 22. And here's the first one. Vision requires testing. Vision requires testing for God to be able to provide. During that time when I shared with you about me planning on going to Oral Roberts University, there was a time of testing. I was a sophomore in college when God gave me that vision. It was November 1996. I can remember that day or that night it was as if it was just yesterday. I remember in my room when I heard God say, this is where you're going. 1996. I did not get the funds to come until 1998. 2 years. 2 years, I'm talking about 2 years with absolutely nothing to show for. In fact, it came to the point where I was like, you know what? Maybe I did not hear God correctly. Have you ever been to that place where you've heard God one time and you know what he said, and then because of situation in life, you're like, okay, you know what? Maybe that's not it. Maybe I missed it. So it came to a point in my life when I was like, you know what? I've missed it. It's not God. And those 2 years were a period of testing. A testing period. So this is a testing period for Abraham. And in verse 2 and 3 it says, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, of which I shall tell you. And so Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his own son. So that vision that God gave to him about him being the father of a multitude was tested at that point, because in his mind he's thinking, Isaac is it. Isaac is the beginning of all the other sons that he's going to have. I might not have another son again, but yet again, through my own son, Isaac, my name is going to be carried forward. My legacy is going to be built. And that promise, that vision that God gave to me, that it's going to be a multitude of descendants that will come out of me, was about to be squashed. Because God said, you want to go and sacrifice the one and only way that this could happen. So Abraham was seeing things in the natural, but God was seeing things in the supernatural, in a way that he needed to go above and beyond the vision in his own mind. Because sometimes we can limit ourselves by what we can see visually. When we look at the resources that we have, we can limit God. We can put God in a box and say, Lord, I don't see it. So if I don't see it, it's probably not you. Have you ever done that before? Where you've been given a task, an assignment, and you know it is from God. And when you look at the resources that you have in your hand, and you're like, that's just not possible. But with God, all things are what? Possible. So God is saying, I've given you this vision. Would you just trust me? So here's Abraham going in, and this vision is being tested. So you wonder, why does God test the vision? I've asked myself this question so many times. Lord, why is there a testing period of that vision? It's your vision. I'm a steward of that vision. I understand that. But why is that vision being tested? And you know what? Kind of like what I got from God is, because I love you. I'm a good God. And I don't want the burden of that vision to crush you. God doesn't want the burden of the vision to crush us. So he tests the vision. And through him testing the vision, he's actually testing us. Do you have what it takes to take it to that next level without that vision crushing you? You know, in the moment, you don't realize this. In the moment of you being tested, you look at your situation, you're like, Lord, you've abandoned me. I've missed it somehow. Because in the moment when I was believing God for the money, nothing was there. Nothing was there. I was a student in college. I mean, we're talking about a ramen noodle budget, okay? There was no money. There was nothing to show for. But yet again, during that period of testing, God taught me kingdom principles. Tithing was one of them. Giving to the kingdom of God was important. Seeing God as your ultimate source was important for me. During that time of testing, I truly understood what it meant to say, you are Jehovah Jireh, the God that went ahead of me and made provision. Believe me, in the moment, you don't realize this. You're thinking about it like, how is this even possible, Lord? Because it's a tough place. It's a tough times. But when you look back now, you thank God. I'm glad I went through these tough times. I'm glad that those tough times were there for me. For my family, it was important. When I think about Oceans Church, it's the same thing. I thank God for 2015 and 16. When it was hard and tough, when it was nobody, when it was empty chairs. I thank God now for those empty chairs. But at the moment, believe me, it was not easy to actually say, Lord, thank you for nobody showing up. It was a tough time to actually say this, to actually say, oh, you know what, there's nobody here, and I'm walking around in the morning, and I'm praying, and I'm laying hands on empty chairs, knowing that nobody would show up. You see what I mean? It's like in the moment you're thinking about this, and you're like, huh. But it's a test of that vision. Are you going to be able to handle it when 100 people show up? It's a test of the vision. So a vision must always be tested for God to be able to show up as Jehovah Jireh. God will always do that. And he's not doing that to be mean, okay? He's a good God. He's doing that for our own good. Just to make sure that the vision does not become a burden that we feel that we must carry. You know, at that moment, in a few years back, when I was looking at our church and I was like, it's not working, Lord. He's like, no, it is. It is. I'm working on you first. I'm working on you first. So when you're going through those tough times in the middle of you trying to fulfill what God has called you to do, just keep on trusting Him. He's working on you first before you can see the full manifestation of that vision. What you see in the natural is only temporal. It won't last. Those tough times will not last. But your faith will. The vision will last. Even if you might feel like, oh, you know what, I've messed it up. And it is beyond fixing. There is nothing too broken for God that He cannot fix. There is no vision too dead that cannot be reignited. Ask Abraham. It took a few years before Isaac was born. He came to the point where he gave up on that vision. He tried to find another way to fulfill the vision in his own mind. But did God abandon him because he made a mistake? Did God abandon Abraham when he made a mistake and had Ishmael? No. God's vision will always stand firm. Stand firm. And it will never waver. Of course, there's consequences for stuff that happens. Abraham paid the price for it. But when you trust God through the whole entire vision, He will make sure that you have the grace, the ability, the anointing, the power to be able to last that vision. You just need to trust Him. But it will be tested. And then we find another part where He rose up early in the morning. He did not delay. The moment where he heard God, God spoke to him that night. The next morning, he got up, saddled his donkey, took two of his men with him, and took Isaac, and off they went. Can you imagine? What if he waited a little bit longer? What if he delayed that decision to go and go up to Mount Moriah and say, you know what, let me just sit on this for a few days? You know what could have happened? When God has spoken and told us to do something, and we sit on it, what could happen? We can talk ourselves out of doing it. I've been guilty of this. I've been guilty of hearing God telling me to do something and I sit on it. And I don't do it because it's too hard. It takes me out of a comfort zone that I'm not ready to go over. And God is gracious enough. He's like, you know what? I know you will not be able to do it, but here's another chance. Would you take it now? And I failed the second time. Like, okay, here's another chance. Would you take it now? You see what I mean? God is gracious to us. He will always extend even more grace, even in time when we fail Him, when we doubt the vision. So Abraham rose up early in the morning. He did not leave room for him to waver. Woke up and he said, let's go. Took his son and he left. The second thing that we learn from this story is vision requires expectancy for God to provide. You need to have a level of expectancy, even when you don't see things in the natural. You guys came to church this morning. Hopefully, you came expecting to hear God. Through a message, through the song, through anything, you're expecting God to speak and for you to hear. I had that expectation this morning that somehow God will be able to use my mouth, to use the words that come out of my mouth and be able to touch your life, to change you, to put you in the right direction, to encourage you, to empower you, to tell you, to give you a little pat on the back that God is your source. Don't worry. So, expectancy is important. You know, For a while now, people were joking and they were calling us the pregnant church. Have you heard that? The pregnant church? Because pretty much everybody, not everybody, but quite a few of you became pregnant. I'm saying, Dawn, our time is up. You know, we're done. It's not a word for us, okay? You know, five is enough. We're done. Micah came in as the miracle baby, and we're good with this miracle. And like, Lord, we don't need another miracle. Can you create a miracle in somebody else's life? You know, but we're done. But expectancy is important. The women have been pregnant here would actually know this when they say, when are you expecting? Oh, what are you expecting? A boy or a girl? So an expectancy is important because when you're pregnant, people are looking for a visible sign of you being pregnant. Before you know it, there's a little belly coming out. And you can actually say, oh, when are you due? When are you expecting? What are you expecting? Because you're seeing something visibly. But sometime with a vision, there is no sign. There is nothing visible that you can see. But that doesn't diminish your level of expectancy. You catch what I'm saying? When a vision that you've received from God, you might not be able to articulate that vision properly to somebody else. You might not be able to say, you know what? Here's the vision. Here's what God says. But you've got something inside of you that only you would know. You've heard God. You've heard the vision. You've got it written down. And you believe in God for everything to come to pass. But you might not be able to show any result, any evidence of it. And that is okay when you're not able to do that. So you should never feel bad when you don't see any evidence of God's provision or the reliability of the vision that you've heard from God. You might even get made fun of, okay? People might laugh a little bit when you share the vision. That's why you don't want to share the vision to just about anybody. There's only a select few that you can say, hey, this is what I feel God is telling me. This is what I feel God is telling me. This is the direction that I'm getting. But I don't even know where to begin. But this is what I got from God. You can't share that with anybody. People might not even understand what you're talking about. And that is fine. That is fine. When God spoke to me about Oral Roberts University when I was in England, I didn't share it with anybody either because they thought I was crazy. I mean, most of my family, they were unbelievers. They were all Hindus. They did not even understand that God could speak. And I'm saying, I heard from God. I'm like, okay. I remember my grandma. The first reaction was, Grandma, like, hey, Grandma, you know, God has called me. I think I'm going to be leaving and going to Oklahoma. Number one, they didn't even know what Oklahoma is. So I had to give a big explanation of what it is and what we're doing. They thought I was crazy. Especially when I say, you know what, there's no money. You're even more crazy. How is God going to do this? Do you have a job? There was no evidence to show for. It's not like I had a scholarship in the beginning. There was nothing. There was absolutely nothing. No evidence. But would you still expect when you don't see anything? So this is what Abraham said. In that story, I told you we're gonna pick it apart a little bit. So vision requires expectancy for God's provision. In verse 5, he says, and Abraham said to his young man, stay here with the donkey. Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. And guess what he said? And we will come back. Him and the lad, we gonna come back. So what was he supposed to do on Mount Moriah anyway? Sacrifice his son, right? But then he said here, you guys stay with the donkey. Me and my son, we're going up, but we're coming back. So the expectancy was, my son is not going to be the sacrifice. I'm expecting to bring my son back. That is the level of expectancy when he had nothing to show for. He's going in on a word that he heard from God to go and do this business of sacrificing your one and only son, and he's going to do it. But then his words are going along with what we would call faith. Faith. Things that we cannot see. Faith is the evidence of things that are not seen and the substance of things that we're hoping for. Right? Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter is talking about faith is the evidence of things that are not seen. It's evidence of things that you cannot see. It's like you watch enough CSI shows to know what evidence is, right? Evidence is a little thing that you put in a Ziploc bag and you can show it. It's evidence. But here it's evidence of things that are not seen. It's an empty Ziploc bag. Evidence of things that are not seen and the substance is something that is tangible of things that you're hoping for. I mean, he's hoping for the fulfillment of God's vision in his life. But he's saying, I'm expecting to go up. You stay here. You stay with a donkey. You know what? The vision that God has given to you, not everybody would be able to go along with it. Some people need to stay behind with the donkey. Would you catch this? Some people will have to stay behind with the donkey. You just have to say it. You stay behind with the donkey. I'm going ahead. Not everybody you will be able to take on the journey where God is telling you to go. You're going to leave some people behind. And that's going to be just fine. You cannot take everybody with you. Especially on a place where God is about to communicate and talk to you one-on-one. You don't want to take anybody with you. There's only a few that you would want to bring. Amen. There's only a few people that you do want to bring. Don't feel bad if you're leaving even family members behind. Not everybody is going to be able to understand God's vision for your life. And that's fine. And that's totally okay. So he said, I'm leaving and I'm coming back with my son. The lad and I, we're going to go yonder and we're going to worship and we will come back. We will come back. Vision will always unfold when you get to that place called obedience. When you get there, you will know why you're there. Have you ever gone to a place and you have no idea whether you're there until you show up there and you're like, huh, now I know why I'm here. Now I know why I'm here. It's like me going to Walmart or Safeway. Mostly it's like Safeway where I'm going to Safeway and Don is like, make sure you get this, make sure you get that. I'm like, then I get to the place, I'm like, why am I here? And I know I'm supposed to be here. I know she sent me out there. And I have no idea why I'm here. And guess what I have to do? I mean, now we have the power of text. You know what? I text. I say, you know what? But what if you get to a place where you know God has called you to go and to be at. And you get to that place and you're like, oh man, I'm here. But why am I here? Why am I here? There's always a reason why God called you to be in a place at a certain time. Sometimes you just need to stop and ask God again, could you please repeat? Could you text me back and ask, figure out where I'm, what am I supposed to do at Safeway? And then you start looking around. If you're like me, I'm looking around and I'm like, and then somebody will, can I help you? I'm like, yeah, do you know what I need to buy? I have no idea what I'm going to buy because I'm texting my wife and she's not responding. And I'm waiting. I'm walking the aisle. I'm waiting for Dawn to actually reply and tell me why I'm here. I have no idea. We have to stop and ask God when we need direction. Man, it's important to ask direction. You know, we don't like to do this. We don't like to ask to stop and ask where we're going. We need to. Otherwise, we'll waste a valuable time walking down aisles that we have no business walking down. And we waste the time that God has given to us looking for what we're supposed to do. Just stop and ask God. A lot of time without getting a text back, I ask God, Lord, why am I here? Okay, you need to go get some whatever. Go get some donut. No donut. Lindsay, no donuts. That's Dawn. You know, whenever she go get those junk food, but I don't. But you eat it. Yeah, once in a while, I do eat. You know, yeah. That's right. And Lindsay called that job security for him. He's like, yeah, eat all the donuts you want, buddy, but come and see me on Monday. Vision requires God's to actually show up and allow us to develop that thing called faith. Without vision, without something that is impossible, I wonder how else are we going to develop faith. Faith is like this muscle that needs to be exercised. Without putting those muscles under stressful situations, they will not grow. So next time when you go and you feel pressure coming against you, instead of pouting, praise God. Instead of being fearful, be full of faith. Like, Lord, I know that I can do it because you are with me. And I know my faith is being tested now, but I know I will come through because you are always with me. You will never abandon me even when I mess up. And you allow that spirit of faith to keep building itself up. Sometimes visions will carry no sign at all. You won't be able to see. You won't be able to prove that you've heard God. Would you be okay with that? Even if you can't prove it. Even if you can't show it. Evidence will come after you obey. Then you can say, you can look back and say, huh, here's the evidence that I was looking for, but I'm glad I made that step out by faith. I took that leap into this unknown, but God showed up. God showed up. When we made the leap from Grand Slam to the Odinger's building downtown, believe me, there was nothing. There was no evidence. In fact, there was everything that pointed in the wrong direction. If we're going there, I'm like, we're not going to make it. I remember having conversation with Dawn. I was like, you know what? I give ourselves maybe like 2 months. That will be it. Then we're going to need to shut down everything because it's not going to work. We don't have enough money. We've emptied out everything personal. There was nothing left. I mean, you know, you can actually say, you know, we got a little bit left, a little cushion. Yeah, the cushion of the cushion was gone. There was nothing. I'm like, you know what? I don't care. Let's just go. If we're going to go out, let's go out and with a big bang. At least we've tried something. And if we fail, you know, the burden is not on us. I keep saying this to myself over and over again. It's God's vision. I'm just going to go do it. And you're going to need to show up. So we went, it's like we were going to this mountain. expecting God to be there ahead of us. And really, that's the name of Jehovah. Jehovah Jireh simply means this. God is our source. God is our provider. But God who goes ahead of us, ahead of that vision, to make sure that this vision is fulfilled. So let me tell you that how this story ends with Genesis 22. Okay? He says, then Abraham lifted up his eyes and he looked, and there behind him was caught a ram in the thicket by its thorns. So that ram got there after Abraham obeyed. He went up there knowing that somehow God is going to show up. And God did. God showed up ahead of Abraham. I believe, this is my theory. You can have your own theory how you believe that happened. I believe as he was climbing up the mountain, God was on the other side of the mountain climbing up with him. He could not see it, but God was on the other side climbing the mountain alongside with Abraham and his son with that ram. And God himself placed that ram in the thicket, in a bush, and said, you stay here until Abraham shows up. I believe the same is for you, for your vision, for your family, for whatever vision that God has given to you. As you're going up your mountain, God is already gone on the other side of the mountain. And as your obedience is leading you step by step, God is on the other side also doing the same as you're doing. And he's gone ahead of you and he's making sure that this ram is caught in that thicket. So when you show up over there at the place where you're expecting God to be, he will be there ahead of you. Not behind you, but ahead of you. So this is where we get that name, Jehovah Jireh, the God that sees ahead and makes provision. So in our situation that we're dealing with right now, we've even the government shut down and all that mess. That has not changed the name of God. It didn't change. We've gone through so many other recessions, so many other economic downturns, even worse than what we're experiencing now. But God's name has never changed. Still Jehovah Jireh, the God that sees ahead and makes provision. So God is seeing ahead of our situation. And he's making provision for you and for me, for our church. So I am never in a position where I will be concerned. Because you know why? I've been there before when we didn't have enough. I remember the days when we were struggling so much when we were at ORU. There were times when we opened up the cupboard, there was no food. Nothing. And I remember like, how are we gonna make it? We're both students. We got married. We got married. We were students. I made $5.35 an hour when we got married. That was the income. I mean, you would think this is crazy. Why would you do that? We trusted God. We lived life that was very limited in terms of resources. We were very frugal in what we did. But God saw the obedience and made sure that we had more than enough. We never went without a meal, even though the cupboards were empty. Because I remember one day where I heard a knock on the door. Somebody left a bag of groceries on our doorstep with two Walmart gift cards, a bag of potatoes and flour and different things that we would need to keep us going, basic stuff, and some extra cash for us to be able to splurge. I don't know what it was, but you know, we went and we got some chicken wings from Walmart Deli, okay? So we were so happy that somehow God was able to provide. There were times when we're looking at, I had this job right after I was still in college, and God opened up this great job, and I was somehow making a lot more than $5.15 an hour. Within 5 months of being on this job, I felt God was saying, I'm closing that door. God, be kidding me. What do you mean you're closing a door? Just got the job and it's a great job. And we're moving to this Cityplex tower or you big building, and my office is not a 16th floor. I'm looking over. I'm watching. I'm like, you're taking that away. I'm just now enjoying this place. And God said, you know, I'm going to close that door. Would you trust me? And I remember going to my supervisor and saying, you know what? I believe God is closing the door. She's like, what do you mean God is closing the door? We just move into this bigger building, bigger place. We are expanding. And I'm like, I'm feeling God is saying, I need to stop. Shook her head. She's like, okay. If you believe in God, and good luck to you. See you later. So that was it. Within a month, the company shut down. There was something that was happening at a high level that her and me, we had no idea what was going on. But God was preparing me for it. I was in a better position to be able to absorb that blow of no job. And Thanksgiving was coming up, and Mom and Dad, they're coming over. And I'm like, great, here we go again. In a few months, there's not going to be any food. And came Christmas time when I'm like, okay, here we are again. How are we going to make it through the new year? And God said, I want you to call this woman that you met in 1999. See, God's provision is not limited to just money. It's connection. God says, I want you to call this lady. I call this lady. She's the vice president of this college, this university in Muskogee, Oklahoma. So her name is Karen. I say, hey, Karen, I'm looking for a job. She's like, yep, okay. Come and see me after the new year. So I'm like, okay, I'll show up in Muskogee. I drove 113 miles to Muskogee. From Tulsa to Muskogee, 113 miles. I'm like, Lord, that's like taking me away from everything. From church, from dawn, from everything. Now I'm going to drive over there to go to work. And I go there immediately. She gave me a job. She took her own daughter out of that position and gave me the job. She placed her daughter in the library. Nothing against people working in the library. She just put her in the library and said, you take this job, and I want you to do this. See, God has a way of providing to you and to me in ways that it does not fully make sense. But we just have to trust Him through that process, that He will supernaturally provide for absolutely every need that we have, even though it does not make sense. Would you stand to your feet as we close? I want to encourage you that God is still on the throne. Could you see God on the throne this morning? and nothing takes him by surprise. The place that he wants to take you, he wants you to visualize it, wherever that might be. Health in your body, finances for you, resources, raising your kids even. I want you to imagine this happening in your life. You might not be able to see it with your natural eyes, but with your spiritual eyes, God can open it up for you. When you lack faith, you turn to Him. When you lack hope, you turn to Him. He wants to be the ultimate source of everything in your life. Father God, we give you praise, we give you glory. Our absolute trust is in you. You have ways of providing for us that go far beyond what we know. Lord, we thank you for relationships, for the jobs that you've given to us, Lord, for the doors that you've opened in our lives, Lord God. We trust you. We trust you in everything because you are our Jehovah Jireh, our ultimate provider, the God who sees ahead and makes provision. We thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here, and I will see you next week. Amen.